You're listening to Japan Baseball Weekly. News, interviews, analysis, and hot takes about all 12 NPB teams. Hosted by Jim Allen and John E. Gibson.
Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast. It's for the week of April 10th. I'm John Gibson, and with me on a Saturday night is my partner and my buddy, Jim Allen. How you doing, bud?
I'm good. This cold is apparently warmed up. or I don't know, how do you say get over a cold? I guess get over it. I'm over it. So I'm doing fine.
How about you? I had a very nice day, although I did have some family obligations, so I wasn't able to watch a lot of baseball today, but I did go to out to Zozo Marine Stadium and got a couple of interviews out there today, so that was good. But doing well, and hopefully we can avoid injury and I can continue to run as much as I have. But I do have a sore foot, and I am going to refrain this upcoming week from running outside and stick to the treadmill, see if we can get rid of that. But I'm doing well. Yeah. All right, well, let's get to it, because we got a lot of stuff on this week's show. We've got a chat with Lotte slugger Gregory Polanco. We're going to talk about the three new skippers, talk about how they're doing, and a whole lot more. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases.
All right, so it wasn't like the good old days, but it was pretty close today. I went out to Zozo Marine Stadium, and that's Saturday, and was able to go into the dugout. And while we could be in the park and do the interviews with players, it's different. So we were cordoned off. We were putting basically a writer's pen out there, the bullpen for the writers, near the dugout. And when I jumped up onto the ground where we used to stand in front of the dugout, a longtime Lotte PR guy, Mr. Kajiwara, said, Gibson, Mr. Gibson, get down from there. You got to come back, and you can only stand over here. And I'm like, I just came over to say hello. And he's like, no, you can't do that. So there are some rules, there are some restrictions, there are limitations, but I was able to sit down with Gregory Polanco, shake hands with him, chat with him, talk in the dugout. And you know what? To be honest, Polanco spent the entire, he was with the Yomiuri Giants last season, and he spent the entire season probably not talking to one foreign reporter the entire year. So he was so happy to see me and sit down and talk some baseball. The feeling was mutual, and he was smiling the whole time.
Yep.
We sat down in the dugout, in the Lotte dugout. So I want to thank Kajiwara-san. I also want to thank Murakami-san of the Rakuten Eagles. He was, we have a future chat coming up with Michael Franco. So that'll be sometime in the future. I'm not sure exactly when, but I want to thank those guys.
Well, the Eagles were one of the two teams that kind of bent over backwards to get us interviews during the pandemic.
Yeah, they were very cooperative, unlike some other teams. So Polanco played with the Giants, like I said, last season. He only hit 240. He had 24 home runs, which is kind of a lot, considering he only drove in 58 runs. But he had 438 at-bats and played or appeared in 138 games. So I'm expecting that he'll get more of an opportunity to play as long as he's producing with the Marines at any point where he's, if he's hitting home runs, if he's going to hit 20 or more home runs, I believe we'll see him quite regularly if he's on that pace. And he hit the first home run for the Marines. He hit the first home run their season on April 4th this past week. And that helped give new skipper Masato Yoshi his first managerial win. The Marines beat the Fighters 6-4. It was kind of a massive home run and a glorious night for them. And so we talk about those things and a couple other things. So let's take a listen to the chat. All right, sitting here with Gregory Polanco at Zozo Marine Stadium. Thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you very much. I'm just here trying to get better every day. I'm glad to have great weather today to play baseball.
Yes, it is. All right, so How did you end up moving from Yomiuri to Lotte in the offseason?
Well, you know, they...
Difficult question they, to start, this, right?
No, not really, because it's all about, the offer, what they offer me, and, you know, here, they guarantee that I was going to play every day, and, and I had some friends, I called some friends that were here, and they told me it's a good team to be.
And, who's that?
Andy Romero, Martin Echevarria,
yeah,
those guys that were here last year.
Last year, yeah.
Yes. So they I talked to them and they recommend me, and that's how I signed with this team with the Mariners.
So you played in the States. You played in Pittsburgh, which is a small market. Then you went to Yomiuri, which is a huge market, and you're still in, the Tokyo area. Yeah. So what's different about playing in such a big market?
Yeah, it's obviously it's a lot of people watching, a lot of fans all over, everywhere you go. But I'm happy. It was interesting last year, such a transfer for me. Coming from the United States to play here for the first year last year, and I had a great time there in Tokyo with the Giants. Everybody was good to me. The fans, the coaches, the player, everyone over there. So I was happy there, but I'm happy here too. I think it's just the culture and the way they play baseball here. It's really nice, a lot of respect, and they play hard every day. They, trying to win, and they have fun. That's the big thing here. They, they have fun. They play hard, but they have fun. They respect the game so much, and I love that. I love that because that's the way my people in Dominican, they teach me, because that's how I fell in love with the game.
That's interesting that you say fun, because we see a lot of seriousness in Japanese baseball.
You think, like, if you see it from the outside, you think, it's like, oh, everybody is like, but no, when you like in there in the dugout, in the clubhouse, it's they having fun through the game. It doesn't matter. Hey, I'm telling you, we compete back in the state, a lot of competition, but sometimes when you're not doing too good, that's when the fun stops. But here, it doesn't matter if we're losing, like three games in a row, whatever. They keep, having fun. They come here every day with a lot of energy, good energy, and with the same attitude every day. They don't change. That's why I call them like that. They are the people that are closer to being like a robot, because they are the same every day, They are the same.
Right.
It doesn't matter how the game goes. They say, hey, tomorrow's a new day. And they just forget about that, They keep coming with the same energy every day.
Good. This is awesome, because we haven't been able to sit down and have interviews for so long. So you're the first one in about 3 years at the ballpark where we've been.
Oh, wow.
I'm having an out-of-body experience. Now, how's the adjustment to the new league? Because you played in Japan last year, but you faced a lot of different guys. So now you've got more adjustments.
I'm still trying to make adjustments, because it's only six games already we play. And then the spring training and the camp, we play a lot of like the team that I played last year. So,
sure.
I see the same guy. But now, we finally playing like the team that I haven't played much. So still like new guy every day, almost every at bat, I feel like it's a new guy for me, like a new arm that I had to face and I had to recognize. So, I'm still adjusting, it's still early. Still only 1 week, so far I'm reading and doing my adjustment, doing the scouting report or that, so I can adjust as fast as I can, because the first month it go by fast, so I have to, you have to adjust as fast as you can.
Yes, I know.
Yes.
So you have a manager who played, he pitched in the United States. You probably didn't see him pitch in the United States because you were too young.
Yeah.
And you're from the Dominican, right?
So,
but how is he as a manager?
Oh, no, he's a great guy, great, you know, great manager and great person, great personality, you know. And he always, like I said earlier, he come here with a smile and, you know, trying to spread that to the coaches, to the teammate, to the player. So he's so far he's doing great, and I love it. We have a good relationship. Every day we talk, you know, and he asked me how I'm doing, and he made sure, like, you know, us the foreign player, we good with everything. So that's something that I loved about it.
Yeah, I talked to him when he was a pitching coach for the Fighters a long time ago, and we sat down, and he's so positive and so much fun that I can't imagine him as an angry manager.
Yeah, no, I don't see him like that. Like, you know, it's a short time we spent together, but from what we spent together, he's such positive person and positive manager. He's funny. He's, like I say, good energy. Like, you just around him, you feel good energy. So I love that about him. And he played in Dominican too. He told me he went to pitch in Dominican winter ball a little bit. And so he say he loved Dominican. He loved the Dominican Republic. And we talk always, like, oh, you know, about, like, the league over there. You know, the food, the people, and everything. So, everything about it. So, you know, that's a good relationship right there. You know, that he loved Dominican too. So I'm like, okay, I'm Dominican.
Yeah, good.
So we have good relationship so far.
All right. So now you have a pitcher on your team, Noki Sasaki, who I think everybody just loves him. What have you seen from him, and what's your impression of him?
Oh, no, that guy is unbelievable. Trust me. I faced him last year twice, one in spring training and one in the interleague.
Mm-hmm.
That guy is amazing, man. I told him, like, hey, you're going to be in the big league soon, you know. So he got great stuff. He's a funny guy, too. He's really funny.
He doesn't come across it like that.
No, but, like, in the dugout, in the clubhouse, he's trying to speak English to us, speak Spanish. So he, like, hola, ¿cómo estás? Muy bien, you know, all that. So I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't expect that from you. He's, like, great player, but great person too, you know. He got great personality, and I love it. He always trying to come here to talk to us too, to the foreign player, and you know, make sure we're good too. So, you know, that's a good combination. When you're such a great player, you got such a great talent, but such a great personality too. So I love that about him. So I wish the best this season for him, this season, and for the rest of his career, man, because he got great talent and special stuff like pitching.
Yeah. Now, what I've heard people back in the Dominican, people and your old teammates, maybe people asking you about him.
Yeah.
What did they ask?
No, you know, it's just like, man, this kid, you know, this guy, you know. I'm like, yeah, I faced him last year. I know, last year, and I told a lot of people, hey, watch this kid when the WBC, say, hey, watch this kid pitch today, and everybody was impressed because he got great stuff.
All right, last question. You hit a big home run the other day. I think it was the first for the team too. So, just what was that feeling like? Because you had a new team and you hit the first home run for them and everything. And you know, the manager finally also got his first win.
Yeah.
So you just guys had an exciting week.
Yeah, that was a special night. It was a special moment for me. You know, especially it was my first hit with the Marines. So that was a great moment for me. That's something I will never forget. We enjoyed so much that day, because they say, hey, you know, hey, let's go attack this guy, and, you know, let's have a good game, and you know, I had the first two runs, you know, especially after that first inning, they scored 3 runs, and then we came back, and then we won the game. But, you know, that was a special moment for me, and everybody enjoyed it. I enjoy it. And, you know, looking forward for more those moments.
Yeah, we are too. We all like the Marines are a very, very popular team in Japan, and especially with Bobby Valentine having been a manager here, and a lot of people overseas know that the Marines is awesome.
Yeah, I know.
Play for two big teams over here.
Too tired, no. I'm loving it, man. I'm loving it. You know, I'm trying to, like I said, I'm trying to do my best every day and to compete and try to help the team win. That's my goal. Stay healthy and go do my 100% every day.
Good luck.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, man.
All right. So how was that, man? That was just cool. I was just sitting there having like an out of body experience and talking to him. But I hope I didn't get in the way of the interview. But it was really fun.
It is hard. I had the same experience in Osaka. It was like, except mine was different because mine was actually kind of like the normal experience.
Right. No limitations.
although we weren't allowed to go in the dugout, but we were on the field more, like when they cordon, there's a lot of reporters on the field.
I remember that. I was at the WBC
and they cordoned us off, so I know what that
was like.
Yeah, but I mean, before sometimes they'd have an area where you're not allowed to go beyond on the field when there's lots of reporters, so you don't get in the way of practice. Although here it's less about not getting in the way of practice, and so I do understand it, and it is kind of weird, and I certainly get Mr. Polanco's response because it is, it's been easy to feel like you were in a wilderness. In a world where there are English speaking media, I mean, normally that's I don't want to say we're a lifeline, but we're kind of a pipeline for little bits of information that they don't normally.
Well, sure,
get.
And a lot of times, if you don't mind me, or you pardon me for interjecting here, but a lot of times we can be, especially if we speak directly to these players, because a lot of times they're going through interpreters anyway, with the Giants especially. Mm-hmm. They don't let a lot of Japanese reporters approach their players anyway. But it seems that's not necessarily true, but it just seems that way. And a lot of times we get these sanitized interviews when we talk to the Giants players. But I would imagine that we annoy these players a lot, right? Why did this happen? And why did that happen? And what'd you think about this? And we ask these little nitpicky and sometimes frivolous, silly questions. However, I think the players get used to that, and they get used to ducking. That's part of the job description, and ducking the questions while answering them with some words, but you're not giving us much substance and all those things. So that's part of it. And I think there's a hole there, even if there's some job that you don't like to do, you take the good with the bad, you know what I mean? And so if it's all one way, if it's all Japanese reporters asking the same little nitpicky questions, and you don't get the foreign media talking to the players and asking some, not I wouldn't say better questions, but just different, and give you a different flavor, then it's like eating the same plain donut every day. And while it's good, it's not, the variety is really the spice. So maybe that was part of it, but I did get the sense that he was happy to sit down and talk with me and meet. Yeah.
I'll bet he was, because it's so different. I mean, even for us, we're not at the park ever. I mean, Jason goes a lot. He probably, in a good year, I might go to the park now because I don't cover games anymore. In a good year now, I might go to the park 15 times. It used to be more like 40, but still 15 times. I'm there, you're there, Jason's there. They're used to seeing, they don't see us every day. They'll see us
once a month.
people will say, yeah, exactly. I mean, I remember, Stefan Romero from Oryx saying, wow, I haven't seen you in so long. It's like, well, you've been in Osaka for you've been in Western Japan for the last, 3 months. So, I saw him the previous time the Buffaloes were in town. So that's just the way it is. And so it is good to catch up. We're all part of that same ecosystem, different parts of it, but we're all part of the same ecosystem. So it is refreshing.
Yeah. So what stood out about the chat?
Oh, a couple things. There was this really this dichotomy. And one is the obvious take, which was, the Marines are a fun team to play for. You know, they're relaxed. They're a fun team, which didn't say, you know, doesn't say anything about the Giants. You know, he said it was the offer necessarily, but we know, you know, we know that side of the story, or we know what players tell us about that side of the story. You know, I remember Luis Cruz going from the Marines to the Giants and thinking like, what is going on here? These people need to loosen up. You know, they were like, you know, it's the Giants organization is quite a bit tighter than teams like the Swallows and the Eagles and the Fighters and, you know, and the Lions and the, you know, and the Marines. And it takes some getting used to. Of course, people who go straight to the Giants, they don't really have that perception, you know, and they get used to the way it is. But even then, sometimes, you know, they say it's good. So we had that dichotomy between, A, the Marines are fun, which didn't say anything about the Giants. But then he kind of backtracked a little bit. He said, oh, but the Giants were fun too. And I'm thinking, yeah,
different kind of fun.
We're talking about a different kind of fun. I think he did a very subtle, you know, what he meant was they don't go like crazy. They don't go. I'm trying to not to use a pejorative, but they don't go nuts about like things that would drive MLB players nuts sometimes. You know, they don't go nuts. Obviously, they don't go nuts when a team tries to steal a base with a 9-run lead. To them, it's just like, it's none of, you know, who cares? We're getting beat by 9 runs. You know, what difference does it make? It's not a punishable offense. So those things are, you know, those things happen all the time. And on the other hand, they don't get worked up about things that you think they should get worked up about. So it's always interesting to see how the import players, you know, take that. But, you know, even keeled, I think you can say the Giants were even keeled because they were losing a lot last year. When they win, I think, is when you see the teams lose that little bit. You know, they tend to get a little up.
Okay.
They tend to lose focus a little bit, and they start, you know, when they're playing over their heads and everything's kind of hunky-dory. I've heard that a lot. But I think when they're losing, I think the teams handle that losing as, you know, it's just part of the game, and they were really good at that. Although the idea of the Giants being like a really fun team, and then imagine, made me think whether maybe we didn't know it, but perhaps Tatsunori Hara is the embodiment of fun, except he hides it really well.
In the locker room, not in front of the media. Hides it really well. It's like the hidden ball trick.
He's got that in him, because I've seen it. I've seen it when he's just really joyful. But he doesn't like, you know, he's pretty careful about it. And I think he doesn't do it really well, because when it comes out, you see he's a little out of control and almost silly, unless it's like a completely, you know, like the time when he was, you know, doing his wrestling moves, showing us his imitation of Warren Cromartie's wrestling moves on the bench at Fukuoka Dome one day and on a non-game day. And he was really getting into it. That was funnier than all hell. But it's pretty rare. I mean, for him to lose his guard is really rare.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. So those two things, that whole idea about the Marines are fun, but the Giants are also fun, was kind of an interesting backtrack. I thought that was a good recovery by him. In fact, it was probably the second best recovery I saw this week after Sheldon Noisy's
catch, man.
Ball he caught on Friday.
I lost it. I got this. Yeah, it was a good recovery.
Yeah, Yeah, I'll make a comment about that because something. But that was it. That was really, I really enjoyed that. I thought, you know, talking to people. And yeah, everybody's got their Japanese baseball network. You really can't go anywhere in America. You really can't go to any MLB team now without talking, without seeing mm-hmm. a coach or a player who played in Japan. It's pretty rare. I mean, WBC, sure. Same thing. So all these guys have networks. They all know what's going on. I'm really happy for him because I thought he did quite well with the Giants. I was quite surprised that they did not keep him around. They did not extend him for another year, but you know, the Giants are the Giants.
Right,
they do
right.
What they want to do.
For me, what stood out the most was I think I was absolutely floored when he talked about Noki Sasaki being a fun guy, and you know, the things about, you know, what was going on in Giants land, that kind of did kind of make me smile and chuckle, and I heard it, but yeah. I was just shocked by the, I suppose, the pure joy that Sasaki is having in preparing himself for the major leagues, essentially, is what Gregory was telling us. He's not only pitching well, but he's trying to get to understand and know his foreign teammates and talking to him in Spanish. You know, give me a break. Spanish, you know, we always think of these guys and what are they saying? And never in a million years would I think that any of the players are speaking Spanish out there to the Spanish speaking players, that they're all, you know, speaking English. So I was just, you know, thinking Spanish, really? And it just makes sense because he might have a Spanish catcher when he goes to the States. You know, he might have a Spanish-speaking catcher. It's highly likely. So, yeah, I just thought this is all preparation for Noki to go to the United States. And you hear Gregory talk about, I mean, I really wasn't asking him what kind of pitcher he was. I was trying to get to the question, and Gregory stopped and said, oh, what a fantastic pitcher. And of course, we think the same. I mean, we've got our Rockin' with Roki segment on the show that we'll hopefully get to later on as we move through the show tonight. But yeah, that kind of stuff, I thought the interview was perfect when he said that stuff, because not only was I back down in the dugout talking to a player and, you know, getting the lowdown on how he ended up in another uniform and those kinds of things, but then he tells us about this young superstar, a phenom, who is getting recognition worldwide here, particularly the drooling scouts and teams in the United States. And he's talking about how he's really getting ready for himself and making an effort to go up and talk to these foreign players. So, and of course, you talked about it last, it was in the interview from last week. I know you didn't talk to Wagas Puck last week, but it was in the interview in which you spoke about the fact that guys who are starters get to, you know, kick around for 6 days, you know, they don't have to work. And so they've got a lot of free time. And that means you can get your work in, get your workouts done, get your throwing done, but then you have time to talk to your teammates. So that was really cool. And that was what really stood out to me.
I you know, the bit about Sasaki did not surprise me at all, because although his demeanor, you know, on the field and with the media is so calm and collected. It's like nothing really gets a rise out of this guy. But when you see him on the, I remember watching him on the bench with Adani Echevarria last year, really had, you know, going into it, you know, just the two of them, no interpreter. And I thought, okay, this kid, and I wasn't thinking, well, he's preparing himself for MLB. I would think he's just really living it up. It was what occurred to me. You don't see, you know, he's got a game face and he's got his post game face, and I pretty much, that's the only one I saw in the WBC, unless he had his arm around Hiroya Miyagi, who was like those two were like twins during the WBC. Their birthdays are within a few months of each other, and so they were, you know, the same high school draft class. So, but anyway, yeah, no, he's just seems to be a really A, level-headed, and a good kid. A good 21-year-old. I won't say kid anymore. Yeah, he's an adult.
Sure.
Good young man.
Yeah, getting ready. So that was fun. All right. Well, let's move along here, make a four-seam transition, and talk about the new skippers. And, you know, the road, I believe, for the three new, or I should say rookie managers instead of saying new, in NPB this year, Masato Yoshii of Lotte, Takahiro Arai of Hiroshima, and Kazuo Matsui of Seibu. But the ships are getting righted, and we're looking at a lot better in terms of the results. Now, I don't always look at the results. The win-loss will tell you part of the story, and that's part of the frustration I'm still experiencing with the Dragons and Kazuyoshi Tatsunami, in that his team is not reflecting what Tatsunami was as a player, which, you know, your teams are supposed to take on the personality of the coach or manager or whatever. And so we have a lot of time to see how these teams are going to maybe represent their managers in terms of personality and the fight and the things they have. And Takahiro Arai of these three guys is just my favorite personality because he's such a nice guy. But I can't even say favorite because Yoshi is so nice too. They're both really fun guys. If you just sit down and talk, I don't know, maybe it's a tie maybe between those two. Maybe Matsui not so much because I just haven't talked to him as much. But the results right now, Arai is 3-4 as we sit here tonight on Saturday, and Matsui's 4-3, and Yoshi now is 4-3. And they all started out poorly, but they're turning things around. In fact, Arai, if the Carp can beat the Giants again tomorrow, will have started 0-4 and then righted the ship and even their record at 4-4. So that's really interesting. So yeah, we noticed it took a long time for these managers, not a long time. I think Matsui won his third game of the season, and it was Thursday. The rain shortened game gave or helped. Well, some good pitching, I suppose. We got to credit the pitching. So, but the Carp won a rain shortened game on Thursday. So when he actually won a 9-inning game, I wrote on Twitter, I was like, he wins his first 9-inning game. You know, I wanted to say this was a full game. The other one was kind of cheap, but this one was an actual 9-game win. But anyway, is there anything that you have noticed? And I know we don't have any kind of sample size. We've basically got a week in a game. Anything you have noticed about these managers that you like, dislike, or anything in particular that you've seen? Probably not.
About Arai, no, because I don't see anything different from the previous Carp, although, you know, just letting Matt Davidson play third base, which is kind of a no-brainer. But otherwise, I haven't seen much. They look pretty much like the Carp of last year, to be honest, which is not a slight in any case. Although with a less dangerous manager,
I
should be transparent enough to say that I did mention that in the CL prediction show, that the Carp's big addition was a subtraction of manager.
I think you threw so much dirt on Sasaoka. I don't think you could find out where the grave was.
Probably Tatsunori Hara. If there are any Tatsunori Hara fans out there, and I'll be honest, I'm a big fan of a lot of things he's done in his career, but there are a lot of fans of what he's doing now. They're probably unhappy that Sasaoka's gone and he's got more undivided attention. But yeah, it's interesting that I've talked to all three of these guys. Of the three new managers, the guy I've talked to the least is Yoshi. Mostly because I interviewed Matsui before he was a free agent, and then I spent three or four times talking with him for a story in his last year. And it was interesting and informative, but so keen to talk to him after he was a minor league manager for a couple of years. So that's really big. I just said hi to Yoshi in the WBC and he acknowledged me, and that was that. Haven't seen Arai. So I'm really looking forward to see, of course, now, you know, we're getting to the, well, at least I'm getting to the point where, you know, all the players that I taught, you know, all the managers are people I knew as players.
There's a lot of coaches. So the coaches and managers, you look along the bench. Yeah. It's like,
Pretty much. Yeah. So many of them. And, you know, and it's like, I see Kazuo Matsui is now back with his player look without the mustache. And I'm going, wow, that's weird. Cause I was used to him with the mustache in his last years. And, Yoshi's got one. And who was the other one that struck me as funny? I don't remember. Oh, Tomohito Ito of the Marines has got a little mustache. I'm going, wow, that looks weird, but, you know, whatever. So anyway, so yeah, it is great to be back. And I don't really have any take on the guys, but I would say that it's hard to tell when somebody's using a lot of new players with the Marines, because that's kind of been their thing for the last, since Bobby Valentine left. Was, of course, they had Norifumi Nishimura there, who had, I want to say if there are things that had shorter, if there were things that had shorter fuses than, and Nishimura is such a gentle man, but he'd lose patience in a heartbeat with players. And it was really weird because he's such a gentle, soft-spoken guy, but he just had a little intolerant streak within him. And Yoshi's not that way. And I'm guessing Kazuo Matsui isn't that way. And with Matsui, we're just seeing all the, you know, sort of what I predicted, all the young players that he knew from the farm team are all getting full chances to play with the Lions. So those guys are really turning things over. I suspect Yoshi is, because it's hard to tell. As I said, it's hard to tell with Lotte because they've been sort of a revolving door for their starting. They've had trouble establishing fixed roster spots really for the last.
What does that coincide with? But anyway, I know it's not a fair question. I tried to watch roster movement or lineup movements and player movements and all this stuff, but it's just so new. We'll start to see more tendencies as we move along. But I did like Yoshi's comment. They won the game on April 4th. 6-4 decision over the Fighters. And afterward, Yoshi joked, I thought this is what it was, and I was just going to get canned because he hadn't won a game. he just thought he was going to get fired and it was going to be all over very quickly, but they won a game and they, you know, like I said, they've turned things around.
That was the other comment when he won his third straight game is, well, this is baseball. You know, you win three, you lose three. This is normal. Right. People, you know, I know for the fans, it really hurts to lose three in a row.
It hurts to lose one in a row. Okay.
For the fans, you know, every win and loss is really big, but you know, we've got to, you know, we got to, you know, all you can do is focus on, you know, once the game's over, all you can do is focus on tomorrow's game.
You focus on the process, and if you have good process, hopefully you'll get better results and get some luck in there too.
Sure, you move forward, and you look at the next thing on your plate.
I was trying to think about I was thinking about this today. I was trying to figure out which team had maybe the most tools to offer of these skippers, and I thought, well, you know, one team can hit, or the other side, that team doesn't pitch as well, and then one team might pitch well but doesn't hit as well, and then you got the Lions, and you're like, I don't know if they pitch well or hit well. They just happen to have good days once in a while. So it's still so early. It's hard to figure out exactly what's going on there. But I do think the Carp have some tools there. And if Matt Davidson is going to be, we haven't seen two foreign players on the offensive side regularly producing in Carp land on a team for a full year in quite some time that I can remember. I can remember there's like one guy and another guy sometimes contributing, but if Davidson and Ryan McBroom are going to, you know, be in the starting lineup contributing whatever they contribute, but be out there consistently, that makes a difference in that lineup, and that makes a difference in the league, because we don't have dynamic lineups. We've gone through a whole week here, and we just really haven't seen a dynamic lineup. I mean, even the Swallows are really good up and down the lineup, but there's just a great dynamic player, maybe generational guy in the middle of that lineup. But after that, there's not the whole lineup is not dynamic. So it's funny. Well, yeah, I know it wasn't a fair question, so I do apologize, but it was one thing I wanted to hit. And there's one thing I guess I'll go off on a tangent here, because I usually leave that up to you. But yeah,
why not?
The one thing I noticed about the Fighters, as they play a lot of, still continue to play a lot of young players or move things around, is their manager. And I was hoping, and I think I talked about this before, that he had grown up and that he was maturing and he threw away the big boss label and that he was going to be Tsuyoshi Shinjo, the manager. And I don't know about you, but I've noticed that he's still the only manager. He's practically the only person in Japanese baseball right now who, during a game on the bench, is wearing a mask. And so, yeah, I thought, okay, well, maybe he's trying, maybe he has a tell and he doesn't want the other teams to know what his tell is. So he's still hiding behind the mask, and they're designer masks.
Wow. That's really giving Shinjo credit.
I'm actually not. I'm not, because I don't think that's what it is. But he's got these designer masks. He comes out. He's just hiding behind the mask. So why is he still hiding? Is my question. And you know, you pointed out that he dared to mention the word championship and talk about winning before this season. But as far as I've seen, he's still a guy who's trying things out and testing and tinkering. Not so much as he did last year. Not at all. He's trying to win the games now. He's not just trying to teach and be Tsuyoshi Shinjo, the wise man, or the wise crack. Yeah, the wise guy.
But
When does it get serious for him is my question. When does he have to go from court jester to king of the court the way that he's supposed to be? And having fun is great, but having wins on the resume is what keeps the paychecks coming. If I might use a 70s reference, I know we don't have paychecks anymore, but when does he have to worry about an axe coming? Because if the W's don't fall, and he has poor results, just like Kazuyoshi Tatsunami with the Dragons. I think their record, both of their teams have two wins only right now. I know one team has more losses as we sit here now, but basically the win total is about the same, but the path to those win totals is different. And the Fighters have been competing a little bit better than last year, but they still only have two wins. And we look at them, and especially when you have this athletic star like Chusei Manami, who today had three hits, a couple doubles, and I'm in awe of his athletic ability. And he's starting to clue in. He doesn't look like he's a Rui Okoye. He looks like he's a better player, and he's going to stick around. But when does Shinjo start to look up and say, hey, there's an axe over here that can drop and cut this whole fun show off for me? Or, I'm thinking if it's really a bad record at the All-Star break, or even maybe in June, does he get pushed by the organization to do better? Or does he get pushed out? Have you thought about that? Because he's still not winning.
I don't think the Fighters are they're a very organized team. And I suspect that they're not going to fire anybody during the middle of the season, because that would force them to make a faster decision on a manager than they, they like to know who their manager is going to be before they get rid of the last one. So I don't see that happening. But what I do see is maybe a coaching change. And I would see maybe more things like when in May 2022, they took the pitching changes out of Shinjo's hands and handed it to the pitching coach. Something along those lines. And I think there could be, apparently he has the greatest, I think everybody in baseball has the greatest respect for Atsunori Inaba. So Shinjo is not alone. And I think Inaba will, when he thinks it's necessary, he'll go and have a sit down with him and say, this isn't working, that isn't working. What do you think we need to do here? And I suspect that will be the thing that happens. And we probably won't hear about it unless Shinjo spills about, how he's messed up, because he's not, liable to blame somebody he actually really respects, as opposed to players and, coaches and things that he really pretends to care about.
Yeah, I'm with you, but we won't know because he's hiding behind the mask. We don't know if he cares about it. I mean, facial expressions are important.
I mean, he does. I'm sure he does in principle, but when the narcissism gets the best of him, sometimes it's really hard.
Yeah, well, they've lost their share of close games. They've competed, like I said, they've competed really well. And that opening series with against the Eagles was, I think, one of the best series we might see for the, I hope it's not, but one of the best series we've seen so far and we might see for a while. Although the Swallows and Tigers have been playing some really close games and really competitive games as well this weekend. However, they came out on the losing end of that series, and then they, were able to scrape up another win today, right, in their game against Oryx. But if you're winning is second week and they've got two wins so far, so it's not a good, one win a week is not a good pace to keep your job. And I started to think about that because I don't know what to make of him hiding behind the mask, but I do find it odd. And I do think there's something to it. And like I said, he did supposedly bury the big boss moniker and that persona as well last year when he took the uniform off and put the Shinjo uniform on. But I haven't seen the full transformation. Let's put it that way. So I would like to see that. And I think once he makes that, I think once he commits fully, even if some of the players don't like him, that's what he needs to do as the manager. He needs to graduate and move up. And if he doesn't, then I don't see why they wouldn't make a move if the record is really bad. I understand what you're saying, and I trust that what you're saying is correct. But if the fans are out there going to this new stadium and watching a very bad product, it's no bueno, and I don't think it'll continue. But again, it's so early. I'm not saying he's going to get fired. I'm just wondering when the axe starts to get in his range of vision to where he makes a change. So something to keep an eye on, I suppose.
To be honest, I don't think he's going to make a change until the axe has already fallen. I think he's just so he's so blind to things that are going. I mean, this is a guy who basically played 15 years in professional baseball without ever learning what the strike zone was.
You brought that up before. Yeah, the poor guy.
So why would he suddenly become, he's not terribly, he's self-aware of what he is to himself, but I don't think he's very self-aware of the space he occupies in the world, and how the rest of the world, he doesn't really seem to really care, except unless it's, on Instagram.
All right. Well, time to grow up, bro. You're almost 50. Like I said, go from court jester to king of the court. All right, let's make a two-seam transition. And anything stand out to you these couple of weeks now? I've looked at some of these players, and of course, I think the biggest obvious comeback player of the year so far is Yoya Kurihara of the SoftBank Hawks, and he's just trying to make up for lost time. It seems like he missed almost the entire season last year, blowing out his knee. So I think he's going to try to hit a home run, and the pace is going to be a home run every other game. And he has gone off, and he's doing really well. Conversely, Hotaka Yamakawa of Seibu, his engine really has been stuck in idle, and we saw him, I think we've seen him the past couple of years, this almost hit a home run a day early on in March and April, and we haven't seen that from him. So anything else catch your eye so far?
Well, Yamakawa is an interesting thing because I'll tell you, I had these conversations with him during the WBC and also after the 2016 Internationals, or maybe it was the Nichibei, it was the U.S. Major League All-Star Tour in 2018, I suspect. And, you know, he said something like, you know, I hit a zillion home runs this year, but I didn't really make good contact a lot of them. And I picked up something from the MLB guys. I think that's really going to make a difference. And, of course, then what happened was his batting, when his home run power went into the tank for a couple of years. And, you know, he said something similar about the WBC. You know, it's like, I've gone to a lighter bat and I'm doing things a little differently and hopefully things are going to work out. But there's something about mixing him with MLB players that really messes him up. I really love him. He's just a big, likable palooka. But this happened before in the past, and we were talking about that in Osaka, and he was going like, "I says, I haven't seen you for a while." I said, "Yeah, there was a pandemic, dude." He goes, "Oh yeah, right."
Oh yeah, right.
So I'm making fun. Yeah. And he's like, "Yeah, I thought there was something weird going on," and I'm making fun. And he wasn't that silly sounding, but he is a very serious guy, and I just love him. But anyway, so there's that, and yeah, Kurihara certainly was on fire the first series, and as the Hawks were, until they ran into two of the better pitchers in Japan in consecutive games, and now they lost a couple. So there was that thing. What else have I've seen? The Swallows ERA through six games is 0.7.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I was looking at that because I thought, oh, here we are with the Dragons again, and they're pitching well, but they can't score. So what has really changed since last year? And then I looked at the ERAs. I'm like, they're going to have one of the best ERAs in the league. And I looked up and I'm like, 0.71? What? Yeah, again, my waddy-waddy. What? What am I looking at here?
Yeah. Well, what you're looking at is, I mean, if you saw the Tigers game yesterday with Yasuhiro Ogawa, I mean, just master. One of my favorite regular season games that I've seen in a long time between him and Koyo Aoyagi, definitely. Ogasawara was sort of like the pick of the game. And then, of course, he gives up a run on we had two balls hit into the outfield that the outfielders couldn't see. And Sheldon Noisy made a catch on his. He recovered. Yeah, you know, he saw it in time. And Domingo Santana didn't see his. And Noisy's came with two outs and a runner on first. So that runner would have scored. Yeah, so he saved a run with that, and Santana's went for a leadoff triple that scored on a sacrifice fly, so that one cost a run. But it was just a riveting pitching duel. I mean, Ogawa was just really on top of it with those little tiny wrinkles, all the different things he can do with location and changing, very slight changes in movements and speeds, and just throwing everything in, you know, just pretty much blanketing the strike zone and challenging people in the zone. And I just loved it. So, of course, that's the kind of pitching I like.
Yeah, he was good. I noticed that. I mean, I thought, I didn't think his fastball was at the same velocity it was when he was that rookie year when he won all those games. But what I noticed was that he was tucking that fastball, whether he wanted to go above the hands where the guys couldn't get to it or just inside. Below the hands, where even if they hit it, it's going to break the bat. And he was just sure. He was dartboarding, and you know, it was not there. Yeah.
No, he doesn't have the velocity, but he's gotten better spin on it. It's a better fastball than it used
really
to
good.
Be. And when you combine that, if you combine good spin on a fastball, you know, with a 90 mile an hour fastball or an 89 mile an hour fastball, and you're throwing all kinds of other pitches, that thing looks really fast, especially if it's inside, especially if it's up and in. I mean, we've watched Tsuyoshi Wada do that for years. I mean, of course, he used to have a fast fastball, but he doesn't anymore. But he's still, his fastball is still one of the better ones in Japan because of all the other stuff he throws and when he throws it. So it was a masterpiece. I love that. As you said, the other thing is that Japan's samurai Japan pitchers in MLB in Japan are now 7-0.
Yeah, I don't know if I said it on mic or not, but I was telling Jim before we started recording that a lot of the guys who have come back from the WBC have been pitching really well. And so now you're telling me that all the guys who are starting pitchers, and again, they use some of those starting pitchers as relievers in the WBC, so they didn't pitch that many innings, which means they really weren't ready for the season in normal terms of how they get ready. Of course, they're all young, you know, especially Hiroto Takahashi of the Dragons. He's 20. So this was, this is essentially his first spring training, because I don't think he started the season with the Dragons top team last year. He came up because they needed him to start. Mm. So he started.
He was really good. He had his stuff going. Shosei Togo won, Keiji Takahashi won, Yoshinobu Yamamoto won,
Hiromi Ito.
Hiroyo Miyagi won, and Shohei Ohtani won. I threw that in.
And Roki Sasaki also won.
Oh, and Roki Sasaki. How can I forget? So that was that. The other thing I noticed is that, speaking of fastballs, a guy who is, again, doing the same thing, as a lefty with a good little hopping fastball mixed in with a slider and a splitter, is Kazuto Taguchi, who has, you know, he's back up to where his velocity was when he was for 2 years one of the most reliable starting pitchers in the Central League with the Omiuri Giants. He has four saves, 3 by 1 run. And Matt Davidson has RB. He's 3 home runs and home, and he has RBIs in 5 straight games. So the Fighters winning today gives hope that all hope is not lost. You know, that all the teams have a chance to be competitive.
True. And again,
so I'm just loving the heck out of this season. There's just so much good baseball, and the teams. I guess the disappointing part was the Giants just looking, unfortunately, like, I don't think they're going to be as bad as I predicted in the prediction show. But yeah, that combination with a team that's difficult to begin with, a manager who thinks he's a genius, and a head coach whose first inclination is to blame everybody for problems.
Hashtag
high. It's not going to be a real winning combination.
Well, we won't even talk about the Dragons then, so let's skip over that, because they look bad. They look worse than last year, and they didn't even start this poorly last year. They had a better start. But anyway, you talked about fastballs. Let's talk about the best fastball, or my favorite fastball, and that's the one of Roki Sasaki, and do our Rocking with Roki segment. Now, he pitched on Thursday. He had 6 innings. He had 11 strikeouts, only gave up 1 hit and no runs allowed. So he was pretty much dominant, but it was a really windy day. Now, I didn't get to watch all of his pitches. For some reason that day, I decided I wanted to watch Masahiro Tanaka. So I had the Eagles game on. And
What were you thinking?
I was thinking Eagles, but I did put the game on Friday because there was only one Pacific League game. So I put the game on Friday. Again, I didn't get to watch every pitch, but I did get to watch a lot of him, Sasaki, throwing on the mound that day. And I did notice that it was so windy that when he would throw that forkball, sometimes it seemed like he couldn't keep it where he wanted to. He couldn't pinpoint it. let's put it that way, because partly because of the win.
Let's be fair. His command on his splitter has never been really good.
Yeah, well, it doesn't help when it's that windy. So, maybe you can get it in a quadrant and not a particular zone, but part of the zone. But he wasn't. Yeah, it was kind of floating up there and blowing and doing all kinds of stuff. But still, you know, he had a very good first start, a good debut, and I was happy to see him out there. Obviously. He's going to be, everyone wants to see him throw really hard. I think he hit 164, topped out on that day. That was impressive.
Yeah, during the at bat against Chusei Manami, when the second batter he faced, and then retired the next 17.
Sit down.
Like nobody's business. You know, how do you strike out 11 guys and throw 80 pitches? it's just boggling. Yeah,
if you're not sitting fastball, you're not going up there with a brain. So I think when guys get a fastball, they're swinging, and that's part of it. And when they think they get a fastball, they're swinging. So if it turns out to be a split finger, they're hitting air. And a lot of swings and misses.
Well, Manami did put a good swing on. It wasn't a great fastball, but he did. He stayed on it.
Yeah. So didn't he? He had the hit, right? I believe. I'm looking up. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He did. He did. He smashed a single past Rookie's head. I think it knocked his hat off. Actually,
either that or the herky jerky get out of the way motion. But anyway, so but he looked sharp. I expect more, and I hope the wind calms down. It was not that windy out there when I was out there today, and I'm thinking, Sasaki should have been throwing today. And what a game they had today, too, by the way, with Taiga Hirasawa.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
Seesaw.
Yeah, that too, because I did.
I remember when Taiga Hirasawa was like.
It was like Louis Okoye.
He's Marines. Yeah, exactly. He was going to be like the big thing. And now he's that guy, isn't that guy who was supposed to be
barely a thing, yeah. So yeah, but what a game that was, and all the drama that game had today—a 5-4 win for the Marines in comeback fashion after Michael Franco hits a 3-run home run to snatch the lead in the eighth. Then Hirasawa hits a 2-run homer in the bottom of the eighth, turn that game around, and they end up winning. So that's fun. Anyway, let's move along. The last thing I wanted to talk about today, since we don't have any questions or comments or anything, was Hayata Sakamoto. And I think we were all seeing this. I mean, it was starting to pile up. And it wasn't that I was paying attention to it. It wasn't that I was looking for it. It wasn't that I was focused on it. But every time I turned around there, the TV announcers on the games were saying he hasn't gotten a hit yet. It was in the newspapers. In fact, when I went into work on Friday, I believe the newspaper, the Sports Hochi had on the top said he was over 18. And I'm like, what do you have to put that on the top of the newspaper for, that the guy's 0 for 18? So what? He's having he hasn't gotten a hit, essentially a week's worth of games. He hasn't even played in every game. So they're just picking on him. But I'm just wondering, have we seen the last of the all-star version of Hayata Sakamoto? Now, it's hard to judge. Again, we've only had about almost 12 games here or 10 games to look at these guys. But
they've been piling on
33.
Pretty hard.
He's going to turn 34 later, much later in the year. He can barely get on the field, and when he is, he's not really productive with the bat. Although today he ended that streak, or that slump, if you want to say it's ending a slump, because I was once told by a wise person, they said, well, if a guy has a prolonged slump and gets one hit, is that the end of the slump? Or does that one hit, one crumb in a vast area of nothingness? And we don't know if it goes on or not. So I answered that day. I said, it's a slump ender if he gets a hit tomorrow, but it's not if he doesn't. So he ended his slump, if you want to call it that, with a home run today. And still, he's just not himself. So 17th season he is in right now. Do you think we've seen the last of all-star Hayata Sakamoto?
I think your point is well taken, that they were piling on him. And I have one of the comments I saw in last week was, you know, he was the reason the Giants lost last year. But what I remember was when he was healthy was when he was healthy and on the team was when the Giants were playing. So it wasn't that his playing was causing the problem. His lack of fitness was the problem, which is, you know, let's blame people for life.
Well, you know, I've seen this in sports, and I'm sorry to interrupt again. I've seen this. It's like when teams don't do what fans want them to do, there has to be a reason. Mm-hmm. And it's never, it is never, oh, this team's not good enough. You know, it's always this manager didn't do this, or this coach didn't do this, or this player doesn't have guts, or player doesn't, he's not a winner, or all these other excuses. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe the other team was better, you know, maybe. And it just doesn't come up. So yeah, maybe the Giants weren't that good last year. Now, those other things can at the same time be true. Maybe Sakamoto didn't play his best, or he brought the team down with his play at times, but no one person can win a game. So therefore no one person can lose a game. So I'm not buying that.
No, I'm not either. And I think, like I said, I think they had most of their problems when he wasn't there. So if, you know, they can blame him for being injured. And this year was weird. They were blaming him for indecision. And I don't know what, I know he's had some issues, but he's been just such a heck of a player. And obviously physically, the demands are very hard. Every player has to go through stages where they can't do the things that they were accustomed to doing, and they have to make corrections and adjustments. And my guess is, right now, he's going through a heck of a big adjustment. But, you know, unless he has a genetic, you know, like a bone issue or something that's going to prevent him from being healthy, or he's suffering from long COVID, which is a possibility, my guess is that he's going to bounce back to, 80% of what he was at his peak, which is pretty good, 80-90%, which is pretty normal for players his age. Players who are of that caliber, well, generally, interestingly enough, what causes people's careers is usually not that their batting falls apart, but it's usually that their defense is not good enough to match what's left of their batting.
Sure. Yes.
So that the positions that they can play require more offense. So, you know, I can see that, that he's probably on the edge of not being able to play shortstop every day to the level the Giants want. Maybe that's something that's forcing him to make adjustments, maybe making wrong adjustments. I don't know.
And I don't see him. Yeah, go ahead.
But I think, you know, given his offense, if he's, like I said, if he's 9/10 of the player he was in his prime, which is ordinary for guys in their, you know, mid-30s, late-30s, I don't see why we shouldn't expect him to play 3 or 4 years at a really high level.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen the last of All-Star Sakamoto.
No, I don't.
But I do think we've seen the peak of his career.
Oh yeah.
And now you have to think that I don't see him really moving over to third base, which is what they like to do with kind of tallish shortstops who get older. But Okamoto is over there, and although I don't think Okamoto is going to age that well, at least for the foreseeable couple 3 years here, I think he's a fixture at that position, although they can move him to first and put Sakamoto at at third if they needed to. But right now, Sho Nakata is showing signs of life.
Yeah. Like
the roach that he is. We thought he was dead and he was on his back with his legs kind of spinning in the air. And now he's up running around the kitchen and you can't catch him.
Hashtag pie.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who in the past has wilted under pressure and then continually refound himself. But he's also one of these guys who I don't know him. You know, I spoke to him once and I thought, wow, what he seems like a generally really nice guy, but he has had personal issues with people who are teammates. You know, he's one of these guys who will basically boss around people he thinks are not as high up in the pecking order as he is.
Right.
And so I've seen that. You see that with a number of players. And these are the guys I've noticed who play when they're fully intent. And then when they lose their attention, they're just really not very good. And they're still good players, but they just don't seem to care too often. You know, it's like the game isn't worth their efforts. And, you know, classic one I remember, Kazuhiro Kiyohara, a throw from the outfielder hitting him in the back because he couldn't be bothered to pay attention to the game. And that was his, you know, and Alex Cabrera was another guy like that, you know, like a really nice guy and a gentleman and humble in his native language, but somebody who, when the game wasn't big enough for him, had a hard time getting into it.
Yeah.
So I think, Nakata is that guy. And I think he's going to go through this and he's got another down coming.
Another down cycle.
Yeah. Coming with the Giants. And then when that happens, then with his age, Okamoto will be going back to first base and Sakamoto will be at short and they'll find somebody who can a good glove at short because there's lots of them around.
And then Sakamoto possibly at third is what you're
saying. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so that was our talking point since we didn't have any questions. And we really, you know, it doesn't have to be a question. It can be a comment. It could be a talking point that you send us. Hey, why don't you guys discuss this? We'd like to hear what you think. So anyway, send those to us via email at yakyujohn@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter at JBW Podcast with the hashtag High Heat, or go to the Facebook page and leave us a message there. So we're probably going to have an interview next week, and Jim is going to try to venture out, I believe, this week and try to get one. We do have a couple. I've got one lined up that I'm going to do in the States. So we're going to have some guests on the show for the next couple of weeks for sure. Hopefully for 3 weeks, three consecutive weeks, if we can get an interview with Jim. We'll just have to see how it goes. We'll just be, you know, let the umpires call the pitch as it zips by. But it was really fun to go out to the ballpark today. Look for us on iTunes and Google Podcasts, and please enjoy your baseball.
And really see you at the ballparks. Man, this is going to be fun.
You're listening to Japan Baseball Weekly. News, interviews, analysis, and hot takes about all 12 NPB teams. Hosted by Jim Allen and John E. Gibson.